Today's shir is Masechta Gittin, Daf Nun Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the last word on the Amud. Amar Rav says the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, the Rebbe Hosh of Bezdin, the Rebbe put together a Bezdin and Nimnu, and they came to a decision. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav teaches us, Ano Haveh B'minyana Derei Rebbe. I was a member of the Bezdin of Rebbe that had made the decision that we spoke about in our previous shiurim, that after the property that one lost to the Sakrikim was with the Sakrikim for 12 months, the halacha is that anybody has a right to purchase that property. And he says that, and the sale is valid, and the owners cannot have any claim to the person who bought it. And comments Rav, B'nei di mana b'reisha. I was the first person that voted on this matter. As the Mefarshim explained, whenever they had to make a decision about this type of situation, if they wanted to make a new rule, they would gather together the entire Bezdin, and every dayan would say his opinion, and then they would take a vote, and they would follow the majority vote. Ask the Gemara, for Anantanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, that Flamme Bezom and Aleph, that if Bezdin is coming to make a decision about Dine Momnis, Hataris Vatumas, or Halacha that affects Tar and Tumma, Maschilim Menagodl, we begin with the most distinguished person in the Bezdin. Din in Nefashis, but when we come to make a decision about Din in Nefashis, Maschilim Menatzad, we begin with the less significant individuals in the Bezdin. The halacha is, why? Because we're concerned when it comes to Din in Nefashis, that I'm going to ask the most distinguished member his opinion. People who are less distinguished, and they're going to be asked their opinion, will not want to differ with the more distinguished individual. And therefore, when we're dealing with Dine Mumnus, we're dealing with Dine Nefashis, where life and death are on the line, we start with the least significant individual, that his vote should be counted and it should not be influenced by what somebody else holds. So here we're learning that by Dina Mumnus, we start with the most significant member of the Bezdin. So ask the Gemara, Rav, who Rashi explains, was not the most significant. Rashi explains that Rav was not the most significant person in the Bezdin, nor the least. He was a Beinoni. So why was he the first person asked in the Bezdin? Another shot that Rashi suggests is the Rav was the least significant. And then the question is even stronger. If Rav was the least significant member of the Bezdin, so why was he asked in our Gemara, which is a Dine Mumnus, why was he asked first? So as we said, the halacha is that we're not allowed to ask the most significant person first, because the pasuk says Losana al Rav, and we learn from there that we're not supposed to argue with the most. We're not supposed to argue with somebody greater, but we do want to hear what the more important, what everybody has to say, and we want to hear what everybody has to say when they say it on their own, not because they're influenced by somebody, not because they're influenced by somebody else's opinion. The Mefarshim ask, the Gemara Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, says that Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that when they were sitting in the yeshiva of Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan says he sat 17 rows behind Rav, and when Rav would speak, there would flames or sparks of fire would emanate from his mouth, and nobody was able to understand what he was saying. So how are we saying the Rav was the least significant or just Beinoni? So he says that from here we see how great the members of Rav's Bezdin. that even though he was such a great individual, he was still, as Rashi said, a Beinoni or a Katan. The Achroinim, the Ramah Mipanu, wants to suggest the Rav is the Tana Rav Abba, that the Zohar discusses this Tana Rav Abba, who was from the greatest colleagues of Rab Shimon ben Yochai and his son Rab Elazar. He was also the Rebbe of Rab Chia in Chochmas HaKabbalah, and afterwards he learned by Rebbe Tyrus Hanigla, and the Zohar says regarding Rab Abba that he lived for 400 years, and that's the reason his name was Rav, 2 times Reish, which is 2 times 200, 400. The Arizal, the Shaar HaTshuva's Torah L'shma, disagrees and says that the Rab Abba, who's mentioned in the Zohar, and Rav, who's mentioned here, are not really the same person. But we still have the Gemara's question. How could we say that Rav was the first person that was asked this question? Why didn't we say, since we're dealing with Dina Mamnas, shouldn't have Rebbe been asked first? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Berei de Rava, Vitamer of Chil Berei de Ravalis, Shani Minyana de Bei Rebbe. The Rebbe is different, the Kula Minyana Metzara Maschilan. By him, in all situations, not just by Dina Mamnas, by Dina Nefashis, also by Dina Mamnas, he always began with the, not with him, but with the youngest of the least significant of Talmidim. So there's 2 ways of learning this Gemara. One way of learning the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying that we learned the Pasuk Loisan al Rav, Loisan al Rav, and he learned that the Pasuk Loisan al Rav is not referring only to Dinei Nefashis, but also refers to Dinei Mamnas. Rashi Masechta Sanhedrin has a different pshat. He says that if that's, that indeed, everybody agrees that the Pasuk of Loisan al Rav speaks to Dinei Nefashis. And by Dinei Mamnas, we should start by the most distinguished member of Beis Din. The only reason Rebbe was different, as the Gemara taught us at the end of Masechta Saita, Rebbe was extremely modest, and therefore he started Menatzad. And that pshat works to answer a different question. The question that we need to answer is that if Rebbe holds, even by Dinei Mamnas, we begin by the least the significant person, we start Menatzad, and Rashi said that Rav was a Beinoni, so why did they start with Rav? They should have started with somebody even less than Rav. So if we're going to say that the pshat is because Rebbe wanted to show anova, he wanted to show modesty, so now it's very geschmack. I mean, that he didn't say we have to start by the least significant. What he meant to say was we have to start, we don't start with me. I want to be modest, and that's why we don't start. We don't want to start with me. Says the Gemara, "Vamar Rava Breidrav, Rava Vitema Beichil Breidrav Alis." Mimais Moshe Rabbi, from the time of Moshe Ben until the time of Rabbi, Lemetzinu Tarev Gdula B'Makom Echad, and the Posh Pshat in the Gemara was Moshe Rabbeinu was a greatest Talmud Chacham in his time, and so too he was very wealthy, as the pasuk says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, Psol Choshnei Luchas Avonim, and we learn from the Psolus Shalchatehei, the Psolus of the Luchas, which were very expensive, were Moshe Rabbeinu. So I saw that the Sefer Toldos Kol Aryeh explains that what is Tarev Gdula B'Makom Echad. Usually, Torah represents Ruchnius, and Gedula, which means wealth, is Gashmius. But there are people who are successful that their Torah and their Gedula and their Ruchnius and Gashmius were all L'shem Shemayim. And these individuals that we're mentioning had that important characteristic of Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Another pshat that I saw, Torah v'gedula b'makom echad, that many times when somebody is wealthy, his wealth causes him to be arrogant. But if the person is always remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that won't happen. Says the Gemara, Torah v'gedula b'makom echad, a person who always remembers the echad, a person who always remembers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Torah v'gedula are connect to each other because they're all there in his service of Hashem. I saw that the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara is mentioning that Torah v'gedula b'makom echad, the Gemara is saying that there are very few people that were zaycha to Torah v'gedula b'makom echad. And the question is that truthfully, we have seen that Torah v'gedula, that there are people who are talmid chachamim and wealthy. So why is the Gemara pointing out these individuals? So I saw from Simcha Zissel Mekelem, he says that yes, there are people who have Torah v'gedula. But most people, he explains, who have Torah v'gedula are either people who are focused on the Torah or people who are focused on the Gedula. There are very few people that are looking for the Torah and for the Gedula and are successful in wanting both. And even though they want both, they don't end up contradicting each other. They end up complementing each other. Says the Gemara V'loi, was there nobody between the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till the time of Rebbe that fit this description? For Havi Yeshua, wasn't there Yeshua? Says the Gemara, Hava Lozer. In the time of Yeshua, he wasn't the only person on that level. Rebbe Lozer was also, Elazar HaKoyim was also on that level. And as the Mefarshim explained, he was on that level, he just isn't publicized to be on that level because he did an Aveira, he was Meira HaLokal Lefnei Rabbi. He passed in the Shail in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was an individual of Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. Says the Gemara, Ha'av Elazar. But after Yeshua died, Elazar was there by himself. Answers the Gemara, Ha'av Pinchas. In time of Elazar, there was still Pinchas. Ask the Gemara, have a Pinchas. So what about after Elazar's Tira, there was Pinchas alone? Says the Gemara, have it Zakenim. As the Pasuk says, V'yavid Yisrael Hashem, Koyimei Yeshua, V'koyimei Zakenim, Ashirichu Yomim, Achri Yeshua. So there was Zakenim that was still there. Says the Gemara, I have a shoal. In the time, wasn't there shoal? Says the Gemara, have a Shmuel. In the time of Shmuel, of shoal, there was also Shmuel. Says the Gemara, for Anach Nafshei, Shmuel passed away before shoal. So there was a period where shoal was alone. Answers the Gemara, Kulashne Kaminin. So the Gemara says now a new point. And that says when we're pointing out people who have Torah v'gedula, we're only speaking about people who were alone in all of their years with Torah v'gedula. A person who his entire lifetime wasn't alone in being Torah v'gedula b'makom echad is not mentioned. Ask the Rav Havah David. David was Torah v'gedula b'makom echad. Says the Gemara, Havi Yira Heyiri. In his time lived Yira Heyiri, who was even a bigger Talmud Chacham than David HaMelech. But ask the Gemara, V'nach Nafshei, didn't Yira HaYiri pass away before David? Says the Gemara, the same point. Kula Shni Kamrinan. The Gemara says, we're referring to all of his lifetime. So of course the Mefarshim asked, the Gemara already established that we're only speaking about people who had this greatness their entire lifetime. So that's the Gemara said by Shoal. So why does the Gemara have to say the question, the same teretz, then the same teretz by David HaMelech? So says the Gemara. The Gemara thought that Dafka by Shoal, who didn't outlive Shmuel for so many years, that's why he was nearly not a person of Torah Gedula b'makom echad by himself for such a long period of time. Whereas David lived many years after Yiri HaYiri was Nifter. And since David lived for so many years after Yiri HaYiri was Nifter, that's why the Gemara's question is, maybe he should be mentioned. Ask the Gemara, for which the Gemara says, no, we're speaking specifically about people, Kule Shana Kaminin, people who lived their entire life that way. But ask the Gemara, what about Shlomo HaMelech? What is he now mentioned as individual of Torah of Gedula B'makom Echad? Answers the Gemara, because Havashim Ben Gera, who lived in his lifetime, who also had Torah v'gdula. Ask the Gemara of a Katli, didn't Shlomo HaMelech kill Shimon ben Giri and outlive him? Says the Gemara, Kulei Shmin Shnei Kaminin, we're talking about his entire lifetime. Ask the Gemara, Hava Chizkia, what about Chizkia? Answers the Gemara, in his time there was Shivna. Ask the Gemara of Iktal, wasn't Shivna killed by Sancheriv before Chizkia died? Answers the Gemara, Kula Shnei Kaminin. So the Ben Yoyada says, we keep on asking and answering the same teretz. So Ben Yoyada explains what the Gemara means to say. The fact that we see that Shivna was killed causes us to consider, says the Ben Yoyada, that that's a proof that he wasn't such a great person. Because if he was such a great person, why was he killed by Sancheriv? So shouldn't Shlomo HaMelech be mentioned? To which the Gemara again says, Kula Shnei Kaminin was speaking about his entire lifetime. Says the Gemara of Ava Ezra, wasn't Ezra a person of Torah v'gdula? Answers the Gemara, Havin Dechemi b'Chakalia, who also had Torah v'gdula, so he wasn't alone. Says the Gemara, Amar Avach B'rei D'Rava, Af Ani Oymen Mois Rebbe Ad Ravashi, from the time of Rebbe until Ravashi, Lomitzinu Torah v'gdula b'makom echad. And the Mefarshim point out, what does this Gemara mean to say? In Torah, there's Torah Shebiksav, the Mishnayis, and the Gemara. And these three individuals, who our Gemara identifies as individuals of Torah v'gdula b'makom echad, represent these three parts of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Torah Shebiksav, Rebbe was the one who was the author of the Mishnayis, and the Gemara was written by Rav Ashi. And that's why the Gemara mentions the people who were most instrumental in bringing Torah to Klai, to bring Torah to Klai Yisrael. Says the Gemara Veloy, in the time of Ashi, wasn't there also Vahava Huna bar Nosson, which the Gemara said that Huna bar, the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, who said that he was standing in front of the king, and the king would lift him up by his belt. Says the Gemara, Shani Huna bar Nosson, even though Huna bar Nosson was a great person, Makev Kaif l'Rav Ashi, he was secondary to Rav Ashi, and that's why he's not considered in Rav Ashi's time as another individual of Torah v'gdula b'makom echad. The halach is midaraisa, acher shoyt v'katan, are not considered b'nei das. And since acher shoyt v'katan are not considered b'nei das, the halach is that any transaction they do, midaraisa, is not considered a valid transaction. Cheresh, so says the Mishnah, Cheresh, who can't speak or hear, Roimus. He could do a transaction by showing with his hands or with his head his agreement to the deal. V'nirmus, or other people could communicate with him that way. Ben Beseir Oimer, Kaifetz v'Nikvetz v'Metaltlin. He could do a transaction with Metaltlin, but it has to be, the way Rashi says, a very significant remez that everybody should recognize that it's a valid deal. Haputus, the Gemara is going to identify who the putus are. Mecha, their transactions are considered halachically valid. B'metatlin, by metatlin. A Mishnah brought a machlokes regarding the transaction done by a cheresh shoyt v'katan. If it's a remez, or akima svasayim to do a transaction. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Machlokes b'metaltlin. The Machlokes that we just learned in our Mishnah is regarding the sale, the transfer of metaltlin. Ava b'gitin, when we speak about gitin, divrei akel b'remiza, everybody will agree that a strong remez is required. So again, the way the Rishonim are learning the Mishnah, to learn it's simple, that Ben Beseira said that koifetz v'nikbetz is adequate, but Ben Beseira agrees that remiza is a stronger form of communication. And that's why by Gittin, he's going to require remiza, and kaifetz v'nikbetz will be inadequate. Ask the Gemara Pshita, what is Rav Nachman telling us? Doesn't the Mishnah say it explicitly? Metatlin tanan. The Mishnah said explicitly that it's speaking about metatlin. Answers the Gemara, Matatayma, maybe what the Mishnah meant to say was that after metatlin, that what the Mishnah means to say is not to exclude Gittin, but maybe we would say that Ben Beseira said his halacha regarding Gittin. Why would Ben Beseira say his din by Gittin more than Ben Metatlin? That Gittin, the way he got married, is the way he gets divorced. And therefore, that's why it should be sufficient by Gittin. But that's why the Mishnah set up a Metatlin, that even a Metatlin, there was never a prior transaction, still says Ben Beseira that that would be adequate. Kamash Malan, that's why the Gemara comes to tell us that no, that's not what was meant to be taught. What was meant to be taught, that strictly Ben Metatlin will Ben Beseira say Kaifetz for Nikvetz, but they get not. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Amar Nachman, Machloikes for Metatlin, just like we have the Machloikes for the two Tanakam and Beseira and Metatlin, Kach Machloikes by Gittin, the Machloikes is by Gittin the simile. But ask the Gemara, but didn't the Mishnah expressly say, V'nan by Metatlin Tanan, that Beseira only said his opinion by Metatlin? Answers the Gemara, Ema, we have to learn the Mishnah af Metatlin, that even by Metatlin, they're arguing, but the same argument is by Gittin as well. We learned further in the Mishnah, Haputus Mecha Mecha Memkera Memkum Memena Betatlan. Vat Kama, what is the age of a Putus? Machvir of Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei, Kvashit Kvashev, a 6 or 7 year old. Rav Kahanama, Kvashev Kvatamni, 7 or 8 year old. Mamasnisatana, Kvatesh Kvasar, a 9 or 10 year old. Says the Marvelai Pligi, there really is no Machlaikus. All of them are speaking about Kolchad v'chad l'fi churfei, we have to look at the intelligence of this child. Some children are more intelligent, younger, and therefore their age, their putus is earlier, and some people it's later. Matamamai says the Gemara, why were Chazal lenient and allow putus to do business transactions? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba b'Yakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Meshutei Chayev. We want to give the children the ability to have food and whatever they need, and that's why we allow them to do these kind of transactions. So based on this, Rav Chai Goin says that if we're only being lenient because of Kedei Chayov, the halacha is that only for what's absolutely necessary for them to survive do we allow putas to do transactions. But if it's not what's needed for them to survive, we cannot be lenient. That's the opinion of Rav Chai Goin. On the other hand, the opinion of the Ramban is that the rule was established because of Kedei Chayev. But once the rule was established because of Kedei Chayev, the rule applies under all circumstances. The Pasuk says that another halacha, another limud, the Rav Abba b'Yakov said in the name of Yochanan, V'yayim l'asher amalates, hoitzu l'ush l'chol ovdei habal. The Pasuk speaks there about Yehi HaMolech that wanted to kill all of the priests of the Baal. And he told the people, Achav oves habal ma'at, the Achav served the Baal a little, Yehi yavedanu harbei, that I will worship him a lot. And he therefore, by making this declaration, all of the priests of the Baal gathered together, and he says to the person who is appointed, as the Gemara is just going to say, Ahamartcha, that he should take a special garment for all those that worship the Baal, so he should know who those people are, and then he'll be able to kill them. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'yoymel Hashal Matcha, Hoitzi Levush L'chaloiv De'abal, let all those who worship the Baal put on this Maltecha. Ask the Gemara, my Maltecha, exactly what is the Maltecha? Amar Rav Akiva, Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Dover Hamnin Lam Nimtech. It's a garment made out of linen. Says the Gemara, Kiyosar Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shigaloi Benunyan Benunyan Rebbe. Benunyan Benyamin, who is a very wealthy person, sent to Rebbe. Sichni V'chomis Salsal Ma'amala. These are 4 different types of linen. Sivni V'chom, when you fold them up, they will just be the size of a nut, of a walnut. this type of linen, kapiska palgapista. It'll be the size of a walnut and a half. My mamala, dava nimla mamitcha. Something that is stretched when you work with it. We learned in the Mishnah that the deal, that the transaction of the putis is valid, but ask the Gemara, but to usuna kama, what is the shear of the mistake that it should become invalid? So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is like this. The halacha of a noah is that if somebody makes a mistake, so if it's less than a sixth of the value, then the deal, we say that the deal is a deal. If it's exactly a sixth, then the halacha is that you give back what was overcharged, but the deal is a deal. If it's more than a sixth, then the halacha is that the deal is voided. Here it says the Gemara that the halacha is like a gadol. But there's a machloikis, what does that mean? Does it mean that even when by part, when it's less than a sixth, since it's such an insignificant amount, the deal stands? Or is the halacha that the deal is a deal, but since the person who did it was this pautois, they'll have to give back the overcharge even when it's less than a six. Machlokes Rishonim. Ask the Gemara by Abaye, Matanos Amai. What is the halacha, as we're learning in our shir, the halacha is that we're being lenient with the patutos, and we learned earlier, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, that we were lenient because Kedei Chayov, what would be the halacha by his gift? There is no Kedei Chayov. He's not buying that he should have what to live on. Rav Yemir Amar Ein Matanos Matana, or Ma Barashi Amar Matanos Matana. Says the Gemara, Vavchua, they reversed everybody's opinion, the opinions as they were stated, V'shalu L'kamed Ramartcha, and it was sent to Ramartcha to ask him what is his opinion. Amalu Zila Amalu Bamar, he said, go tell the son of Rashi, Lav Hochi Ava Uvda, wasn't there once an episode, when he was standing one leg on the ground and one leg on a step, and we asked him, what is the halachic status of the matana of a pot? And he said to us, matana, whether it was given as a matana shchimera, vach matana spari, vach matana maruba, vach matana mu'atas, in all situations, it's valid. Says the Mishnah, El Dvarim Sh'omer Chachamim Dnei Daka Shalom. These following halachas were instituted because of Daka Shalom. Says the Mishnah, what is it? Kayin Kayin Rishon. The Kayin gets the first Aliyah, Vachrav Levi, and the next Aliyah is given to the Levi, Vachrav Yisrael, and the next Aliyah is given to Yisrael. And this was instituted B'nai Daka Shalom. It was instituted because of Daka Shalom to avoid any disputes regarding the Aliyahs. And as the Rishonim point out, everybody wanted the first Aliyah. And like this, by instituting Kohen gets first, Levi gets second, you avoid all these types of machlokes. And therefore, says the Miri, not only does the Kohen get the first Aliyah, but even the Levi is supposed to get the Aliyah before the Yisrael. And as we're going to learn, a Kohen is supposed to always get the first Aliyah, so too should the Levi always get the second Aliyah. Says the Mishnah, Ma'arvim b'bayis yoshen, we have the Ruvich Hatzeris. Shlomo Melech made up a rule that everybody, that even though you have two Rishus HaYochids, my apartment and your apartment in an apartment house, the halacha is, of course, I could carry in my apartment, but I can't carry from in the hall of the house, because the reason you can't carry in the hall of the house is because my apartment is a much more private Rishus HaYochid than the hall. My apartment is only for me and my family. Your apartment is for you and your family, and the hall is for everybody. But in order to be able to carry that way, they instituted a Ruvei Chatzeres. And by having everybody contribute to food in one person's apartment, the halacha is that the Ruvei Chatzeres is put in one apartment. And the Mishnah says that the apartment that it's left in should be the apartment that it's always left in. And the Rif says a beautiful explanation of the Mishnah. The Rif explains that the whole point of Ruvu Chatzeris is, as we just said, everybody's food is in everybody's apartment. So if we're going, that which creates a situation of shalom between all of us. So since it creates a situation of shalom between all of us, doing something that will destroy that shalom by changing apartments is just the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. We learned another halacha. They used to dig canals from the river to the field, irrigation canal. That's called an amas hamayim. And the question is that abor shukarv l'amam smal arishin, the pit to which the water flows closest to the bar is the one that's filled up first. That's the person who has the right to take the first. Another halacha. Metzus chay v'ayfus adogim. Traps that were put out for animals and for birds and fish. Yesh b'mei kundak shalom. If somebody tries to take something out of my net, from my trap, the halacha is that it's also b'mei dak shalom. And as we're going to see, the nafkamina is, if you say it's daka shalom, so you can't halachically make such a demand. If it's only because of, if it's gezel gomer, you could go to Besdin and make a demand. But I saw that Rabbi Yoshev in his sefer says that these rules were only established for people who rely on these pits, rely on these food, on these birds and whatever are caught for their panosa. If somebody just going to trap for sport, this halacha doesn't apply. Another halacha, but see, it's cher shayt for cotton, something that's found by cher shayt for cotton. That even though we explained early in a shir, the cher shayt for cotton don't have das, yesh b'm shem gezel neidak shalom. Chazal instituted that if I take it away, I'm considered a gazlan. Gezel gomer. Next halacha. Ani hamanakif roish hazayis. An ani is knocking on the top of an olive tree to try to get down olives. Masha tachtov, any olives that fall down belong to that person. And if somebody else tries to take it away, it's gezel v'neidak shalom. Rabbi Yosimer, it's not just gezel v'neidak shalom, but the halacha is even gezel gomer. So the Chavis Yor says that, why does the Mishnah speak about an olive tree? So he says that because an olive tree is a difficult tree to climb up. And therefore, by an olive tree, they instituted that this rule. But the Gra disagrees. And the Gra says that even though the Mishnah uses the olive tree as an example, this halacha applies by all trees. So again, Ani Amanakim Rosh Hazayis, Masha Tachtav Gezel Neidak Shalom, Rabbi Yosem Gezel Gomer. We know that the anim are entitled to lekas shicha peya. The halacha is that if the nakum take it, we don't stop them. It says the nei dakishalom. So I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky's etzal and his sefer Derech Amuna asks, but how do we? Why is this not considered lifnei iver? They're not entitled to the matnas aniyim. If they're not entitled to the matnas aniyim, by us taking it away, by us letting them keep it, then the halacha is that, isn't that considered that I caused them to steal? So he answers, since this is not, it's mammon shein lo tayvin, it's mammon that nobody, that there's no specific owner, that's why Chazal were able to make up this rule. I saw a very interesting halakhic question related to our Mishnah, where there was somebody who had the license to bring meat to Eretz Yisrael from a slaughterhouse in Argentina. And now somebody else wants to be able to bring from that slaughterhouse as well. And the question is that considered, like we're learning that once this the first person arranged for this, isn't a certain person, second person, like an ani, like the person who's taking away the olives from this person. And the second person is claiming that I'm not taking away his license. He could take and I could take. Still, the Paiskim say that since I'm causing that he should not have as easy of a time in selling his meat, he's now going to have competition from that very slaughterhouse. That's considered a violation of Darkei Shalom. So the Mishnah said that when we have Kriyas HaTorah, we have the Kohen, the Levi, and the Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, where do we know this halacha? So the question, of course, that many Achronim ask is that the Mishnah said that this was a Takanas Chachamim, Menei Darkei Shalom. So what does it mean when it says Menahani Mili? So the Maram Shif says that the Mishnah means to say, where do we learn the halacha that the Kohen, it always goes first? And I saw the Chassam Sofer explains it even a little stronger. Who says the first aliyah is considered the most significant aliyah? Maybe the last aliyah. Amar Master Dama Krav Yifta Moshe's Torah Zois V'yitnu Al Kehanim B'nei Levi. So the question obviously is, Ata Anolo Yadana the Kehanim B'nei Levi Ninu? Aren't we well aware that the Kehanim are the children of Levi? Ella to come to teach us Kohen Bereisha, we first give an aliyah to the Kohen, for Hada Levi, and afterwards we give it to the Levi. Rav Yitzchak Nafka Amar Mehocha. The pasuk says V'nikshe Kehanim B'nei Levi, and again the same question. Ata Anan Lo Yedinan the Kehanim B'nei Levi Ninu Ella Kohen Bereisha for Hada Levi. Rav Asher Mehocha. The pasuk says B'nei Amron Aaron and Moshe V'yibadl Aaron Lagdishay Kodesh Hakadoshim. So we have to show the special kavod that we have to Aaron HaKohen. Rav Chibar Abba Amar Mehocha. The pasuk says V'kidashta L'kol Dovashim B'gedusha. We always have to show great respect to the Kohen first. Tana Beri Shmol V'kidashtoi. What does V'kidashtoi mean? L'kol Dovashim B'gedusha. Whenever we're involved in the Dovashim B'gedusha, we give Kohen honor. L'ftoyach, he's the first one to get an aliyah. L'ftoyach Rishon, L'varach Rishon, he's the one that gets the honor of doing the Zeman. Little money Yafar Rishon, he gets the best portion first. And as the Prima Gordon points out, what the difference we learn from Kedashtoi? When we learn from Kedashtoi, we learn that that the inyan of giving cover to the Kohen is not just limited to Kriyas HaTorah, it's to all situations. So I saw that the Sefer Tveres Yaakov asks, if that's the case, so why shouldn't all the Kohanim get aliyahs before the Yisraelim? So he answers, once we give the first aliyah to the Kohen, we show that we are giving honor to the Kohen. Once we show we're giving honor to the Kohen, we don't have to do it for all situations. We don't have to do so situations. And the Rishonim give a number of examples. What does this mean? That means in the morning, when we come to shul and we say Birchas HaShachar, the Kohen should be the first one to say the Birchas HaShachar. The Magen Avraham establishes that we see that people are not so careful with this halacha b'zman hazeh. Why? So he says that since we're not 100% certain about the yichus of the Kohanim b'zman hazeh, that's why we could be a little more lenient with this halacha. The Knesset Yecheskel says, chas v'sholem for us to question the yichus of a person who's a Kohen, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, we should be careful to show the proper honor to a Kohen. The Levarach Rishon, so some Rishonim say, Rashi says, that he should be the one to make the Baruch Rishon first, and any say, others say it refers to Birchas HaMazon. Little Mana Yafar Rishon says that it's referring to any time we're dividing up portions, the Kohen gets the first opinion, gets the first portion. But the problem with that pshat is that that's not a Dovah Shepa Gedusha. That's any portion, according to Rashi. And that's why we're referring, says Taisus, not to any portion. We're referring strictly to Staka or Meiser, which are Dvar Mitzvah, That's where the halacha is that we give him davar rishon. So it's a very big machlokes. When the Gemara says here, v'kidashtoi, what does it mean? Does it mean only for dvar mitzvah, Taisus' opinion? Or does it mean for anything that halacha is we give it to the kohen first? There's a number of questions that come up. One is, the question is, could a kohen be moichel his kavod, machlokes rishonim? The Mordechai says that a kohen could give up his kavod. The Taz says that he can only do it when he has some gains from it. Others disagree and say a kohen could always be moichel his kavod. There's another question. Here we're saying a kohen has to be treated with respect. What about one kohen to another kohen? So that many achronim say that there we could be more lenient. Others say that if the kohen is an amoritz and the Yisrael is a tamat chacham, this halacha doesn't apply. Amalei Baile Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi says, our Mishnah said that the reason the halacha is that a kohen goes first is because of Daka Shalom. But here we just learned it's a pasuk in the Torah of the Kedashtai. Amalei Baile Rabbi Yosef. How do we understand what the Mishnah says in Daka Shalom? We just learned Daraisahi. Amalei, he says Daraisa. The halacha is indeed a din Daraisa, but the Mishnah is explaining the reason for that halacha in Daka Shalom. Says the Gemara, Kala Taira Kula Nama. Says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to learn, then everything is Mimnei Daka Shalom Hi. Because the Pasuk in Mishlei, in describing the Torah, says, Dorcheh Dachi Noyam V'chon Nesiv Shalom. Ella Amar Baya, what does the Mishnah mean to say with teaching us Mimnei Daka Shalom? Doesn't this include it in the Kidashta? The Tanya, Shnayim Memtin Zel Zabakara. If you have two people are eating together from one serving plate, if one stopped eating, the other one has to stop eating. But if there are three people eating from one serving plate, if one stopped eating, Eimamtina, the other two do not have to stop. Habitzeya, the person in those days who sliced the challah and was the one that made the brich samoitzi to be moitzi everybody at the table, who poishet yodet tchila? He is the one that takes the first from the portion from the serving plate. But he wants to show respect to his Rebbe, to somebody greater than him, and not be the first one to take the first portion. Regarding this halacha, says Rabbi Ben Nachmeni, all these halacha that we just learned is by a meal. These halachas don't apply in the shul. Why? We don't want to have a machlokes, and therefore the halacha is that we always give, that we always go in with this order no matter what. And in fact, Agos Mordechai says, the one is not allowed to ask a kohen to work for him, bizman hazeh, because in public, because of this reason. But the Taz says that a kohen can be moichel. And you could let him work for you. Amar Masna, Hadam Rebesek Nesses Loi, Lemar Al Bishabas Yom Toivim. Only on Shabbos, where there's a large group in the Besek Nesses, we have to show this cover to the Kohen, the Shchichi Rabbim. Al Bishen B'chamishi, Monday and Thursday, where there aren't so many people, then the halacha is that Loi, we don't have to show the special honor to the Kohen. Eini, says the Gemara, for Rav Huna Karbi Kahani Bishabas Yom Toivim, Rav Kahuna would take the first aliyah on Shabbos b'yom yontif, even though he wasn't a kohen, answers the Gemara Shani Rav Huna, the filler of Ami Rav Asi Kanech Shiv that Yisrael, who were the most distinguished kahanim, and that Yisrael mefik have a kaifale, they were secondary to him. And what that means to say is that when you have a kohen, explain says the Gemara, who is muflig b'chokma, who's of a very significant level of chokma, then he always goes first. Amar Abay Naktinen, Ein Sham Koyin, if there is no Koyin in the shul, Nespar de Chavila, the entire group falls apart. So Rashi explains that in such two pshat, and one pshat is that the Levi doesn't get an aliyah at all. The second pshat, that the halacha is that the halacha that a Levi comes before Yisrael doesn't apply. If there is no Levi, Kayin a Kayin. We give the Kayin the halacha, the Leah, twice. Because, as the Ritva explains, that if the Levi, if Yisrael is going to be given the second Leah, people are going to think that he is a Levi. Another pshat that the Shmuel Elekid suggests is that because the Kohanim are also called Leviim, so giving a Kohen the Leah of a Levi is not terrible because we are giving to somebody from that family. Eini, says the Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Achar Kohen Lo Yikra. You can't have two Kohanim get a Leah one after another, Mishum Pekama Shel Rishon, because people are going to say, why did we give the second Kohen an Leah? Because they discovered that the first Kohen wasn't the Kohen. Levi Achar Levi Lo Yikra. The Loch again is the same by Levi of a Levi. The Loch is Mishum Began Shanaim. The people are going to say that he's really not a Levi. So answers the Gemara, Ki Amrina Ba'isa Kohen. The Loch is that if the Kohen got the first Aliyah, and now there is no Levi in the Shul, the Loch is that we should give the Kohen who got the first Aliyah the second Aliyah. In a Shul where there are only Kohanim, Taisa says that one Kohen, because of this concern, one Kohen should get the entire Aliyah. The Menucha Yosef says in a shul, which is most or all Kohanim, the halacha is that we have no problem of giving one Kohen after another Kohen an Aliyah. It's only in this situation that we don't give another Kohen Aliyah after the first Kohen. Says the Gemara, Maishna, says the Gemara, Levi ach Levi, that the Ikah began b'shneim. Why is there concern that a Levi who gets an Aliyah, that Rabbi Yochanan says that the people are going to say there's a problem with both of them. V'amri chad minay lav Levi hu. Koin achi koin nami amri chad minay lav koin hu. Says, why do we have the same concern? Says the Gemara, koin lav muxulam bavu d'sheni. We know that the person who got the second Aliyah, koin hu. So says the Gemara, so if that's the case, so by Levi as well, why don't we say the Muxlam Avu, the high Sheni, the Levi, who, that the father of the second person was a Levi, El Amri, Mamzeres or Nesina. We have to be concerned that the father of the second person married a Mamzer or Nesina, Nosev or Pasle Lazer. That's why you can't give an Aliyah to one Kohen or after another Kohen. And that's why we shouldn't, because people are going to be accused of that. Says the Mara, so if that's the concern by a Levi, Hachnami Amri, that you should say they're going to say that by a Kohen, Grusha Chalutza Nasav Achle Zarei. Says the Mara, Soif Soif, if indeed his father married, if a Levi's father married a person who he's not allowed to marry, he's not a Levi. Levi Mikahava. There is an interesting question with such a person, if he had a child, may have to make a Pidyon HaBen. Ulaman, says the Gemara, when are we concerned? Eli Yoshvin, if we're sitting worried about the people who are sitting in the shul the entire time, Hakrazinen, we're going to see that the first Kohen was counted towards the Sheva Kruim. It's a right that he's a Kohen. So Zemara La Yoitzin. We're worried about the person who leaves the shul. And since we're worried about the person who's worried who left the shul, he may see that we call the Kohen after a Kohen. And then we're going to see there were seven people after the first Kohen. They discovered something is wrong with that Kohen. Here we see the issue of having covered for a Kohen. So there's one question, are we allowed to ask a Kohen to walk out or be Michael as first Aliyah? Most Paiskim say that it is inappropriate, some Sofer discusses it, that it's inappropriate to ask a Kohen to be Michael as Aliyah. The Maram Shik says that if it happens not occasionally, we could be more lenient. Otherwise, we should not be more lenient. On Simchas Torah, we just learned we can't call up one Kohen after another Kohen, but on Simchas Torah, the Levush says, we can't call up one Kohen after another Kohen. Here we're also learning that we have to be concerned about people shouldn't say there's something wrong with a Kohen. And there's a famous question, since, as we said earlier in our shir, we're not quite certain that the Kohen who we think is a Kohen is really a Kohen. So when we do a Pidyon HaBen with one Kohen, should we do a Pidyon HaBen with a second Kohen? Because maybe the first Kohen is not really a Kohen. And it's known that the Ma'aser Rav, quotes that the Gra, who was a Bechar, every time he met a Kayin, he would do a Pinyan Aben because he was concerned that maybe the Kayin that he did a Pinyan Aben with wasn't really a Kayin. So how can we do it over here? So the Paiskim say a number of reasons why we may. Some say because both are the same. We have the same suffix on the first Kayin and the second Kayin. Another pshat is that the minig was that they used to do Pinyan Aben with multiple Kahanim, that was only that everybody gave back the money. So since everybody gave back the money, that's when nobody is going to be concerned that one is more or less than the other. And the last pshat that I saw is that this is by a leal attire where it's public. That's why we have to be concerned. Under other circumstances, we don't have to be concerned.